Good morning to everyone. It's a blessing to be with you today. I hope you feel blessed to be here, either in person or joining us on our live stream, to be able to focus on God and worship God. It's always uplifting. It's encouraging to me, and your presence here today, it encourages me. As we've gone through the last several months, there have been many different things that have happened in our world, and we seem to be surrounded by potentially fear-inducing events. Something just seems to happen every day that we potentially could be scared of. And I think it's easy to be scared of everything. Fear takes over our emotions and it drives our actions. I don't believe this is the life that God has in mind for us as His people. If you were to go back historically and just track Christianity through the years, there have always been things that have happened, circumstances that were beyond the control of the Christians, that could have caused followers of Christ to just hunker down in fear, to just be paralyzed by fear. I don't think God has that in mind for us, and I don't think He's ever had that in mind for His people. Whether it was back in the first century when Rome was oppressing everyone, including Christians specifically, I don't think God wanted them to be scared to the point that they weren't effective. How can we rise above fear? How can we rise above the circumstances of life and be the people that God needs us to be? I want you to think about this thought for just a moment. It's a quote, "Would you have a great empire?" That's something I think everybody wants. And we're a part of God's empire, the greatest empire ever. Would you have a great empire? Rule over yourself. Be in control of yourself. Be able to discipline yourself and fall in line behind Christ. When America raced to send the first men into space, they trained the astronauts in one skill more than any other. There was one specific skill that they had to train these men to learn. What do you think it was? What was the most important skill that these astronauts needed to be successful up in space? The art of not panicking. When people panic, they make mistakes. They override systems. They disregard procedures, ignore rules. They deviate from the plan. They become unresponsive and stop thinking clearly. And over the past few months, it sure seems like there's a lot of people that aren't thinking clearly. And I'm sure all of us where we sit right now, we're probably thinking it's everybody else that's not thinking clearly, right? People just react. Not to what they need to react to, but to the survival hormones that are coursing through their veins. Welcome to the source of many of our problems down here on earth. Everything is planned out down to the letter. Our days, our weeks, our months, our years, our entire lives. Some of us have our entire life planned out. This is what I'm going to do at 20. This is what's going to happen at 25. This is what's supposed to happen at 40. You can go on the internet and you can see all of these milestones and things that you should achieve by each of these years. And we have everything planned out down to the letter. And then something goes wrong. Doesn't something always go wrong? Something goes wrong, and the first thing that we do is trade in our plan for a good old emotional freakout session. Some of us almost crave sounding the alarm because it's easier than dealing with whatever it is staring us in the face. It's easier to just become panicked than it is to deal with the problem. Many, many miles above Earth, in a spaceship smaller than a Volkswagen, this is catastrophic. Panic is a death sentence. So panic has to be trained out, and that's what NASA does. And it does not go away easily. It's something that's almost inbred in us. Before the first launch, NASA, they recreated the coming day. They recreated everything that was going to happen for the astronauts over and over, step by step, hundreds of times, from what they would have for breakfast to the ride to the airfield. And slowly, in a graded series of exposures, the astronauts were introduced to every sight, every sound, every experience that they would encounter, except for the actual firing into space. Nothing was left to chance. And they did it so many times that it just became natural and familiar as breathing. And they'd practice all the way through, holding nothing back but the liftoff itself, making sure to solve for every variable and remove all doubt, all uncertainty. Because uncertainty and fear are relieved by authority. Training is authority. It's a release valve. With enough exposure, you can eliminate those perfectly ordinary, even innate fears that are bred mostly out of unfamiliarity. Fortunately, unfamiliarity is a simple fix. Not an easy fix, but it's fixable. It is possible to increase our tolerance for stress and uncertainty. John Glenn, the first American astronaut to orbit the Earth, he spent nearly a day in space, still keeping his heart rate under 100 beats per minute. That's a man not simply sitting at the controls, but a man in control of his emotions. A man who had properly cultivated what Tom Wolfe later called the right stuff. It's a skill we need to develop. We will either control our emotions or our emotions will control us. And the list is long. Think about all of the emotions that within a day may control what we do, may decide, may steer us in specific directions that often are not good. Anger, fear, jealousy, lust, rage, revenge, doubt. The list is like Pinocchio's nose. It just keeps growing. So many things we could add to that list. These emotional responses that often drive our actions to a bad place. In space, the difference between life and death lies in emotional regulation. Hitting the wrong button, reading the instrument panels incorrectly, engaging a sequence too early, none of those could have been afforded on a successful Apollo mission. The consequences were too great. Thus, the question for the astronaut was not how skilled a pilot are you, but can you keep an even strain? Can you keep control of your emotions? Can you not freak out? Can you fight the urge to panic and instead focus only on what you control, the task at hand? Life is really no different. Obstacles make us emotional. Most of us probably freak out about something on a daily basis. Something happens at work, we panic. Something happens at home, we freak out. Something happens with our children, our spouses, we stress. Something happens in our relationships. We reach DEFCON 20. We have the art of stressing out down to a science. In a lot of ways, we are like Jesus' apostles. On that day when evening came, he said to them, this is Jesus speaking to his apostles, let us go over to the other side. Leaving the crowd, they took him along with them in the boat, just as he was. And other boats were with him. And there arose a fierce gale of wind. That's just a fancy way of saying there was a huge storm that came up. And the waves were breaking over the boat so much that the boat was already filling up. Jesus himself was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? And I'm sure it was a lot louder than that. They were panicked. They were fearful that they were going to die. Teacher, do you not care about what's happening to us? Do you not care that we're about to die? Teacher, wake up. And he got up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Hush, be still." And the wind died down and it became perfectly calm. And he said to them, "Why are you afraid?" I'm sure the apostles are thinking, "What are you talking about? We were about to die." But Jesus, he said to them, "Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They became very much afraid and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Isn't this a picture of our lives? This describes our existence on many days. We're trying to walk with Jesus. We're right there beside him. We're listening to him. We're talking to him. We have this relationship with him because we know he's different. We know he's set apart. We know he's our Savior. And so we want to develop a closeness to him. And we have that. We try to walk with him day by day. We even invite him into our boats. "Jesus, come have a seat at my table. Jesus, come have a seat in my car. Jesus, come accompany me to work. Come with me as I go to school. Jesus, I want you in my boat. I want you in my life." That's the picture we have of the apostles. They wanted closeness with Jesus. And that's us. That's why we're here this morning. It's why we struggle and keep fighting and holding on. Because we want this connection with Jesus. And so we invite Jesus, hey, Jesus, come be a part of my life. Come live in my boat. Come with me in my boat. And everything is going great. And then life happens. And our boat is tossed about by COVID-19. Our boat is tossed about by cancer. Our boat is tossed about by uncertainty and unrest in our country that we just don't seem to have a solution for. Our boat is tossed about by disappointments. Our boat is tossed about by financial struggles. Our boat is tossed about by change, by breakups and letdowns. And we are continually adrift in a raging storm. And we wonder, just like the apostles, how are we going to survive this? How can we go on? How can we make it across the sea? How can we make it to the other side of this grief, of this illness, of this struggle? And what do we do in these moments? We panic, we freak out, and we lash out. We just kind of lose our senses. We question God. "God, why did you let this happen?" We do exactly what the apostles do here. Now, they did some good things. They took Jesus with them. They invited him into their boat. And they also went to him for help when things were not going good. You know, there's some good things that the apostles did here. But like us, they also missed some vital things. They didn't fully understand who Jesus was. They didn't view the fierce gale of wind. They didn't view this raging storm through the eyes of Jesus. Instead, they panicked. They relied on humanity. "Guys, we're weak. We're frail." And in moments of stress, in moments of uncertainty, in moments when we're confused, in moments when everything just seems to be crashing down, if you're relying on yourself, you're in trouble. It's not going to end well. And that's what the apostles, that's what they're doing. They're panicked because they're viewing everything through their eyes. They even question Jesus concerning their well-being. I'm sure they're thinking, Jesus, did you really invite us to follow you just so we could die out here in the middle of this sea? Is that really what this was all about? You said, hey, come join me, come follow me. And now, moments into it, we're just going to perish out here in the middle of this sea. You can really dive into the depths of this story by looking at the questions that were asked. This first one was from the apostles. Teacher, Jesus, do you not care that we are dying? It's a question most, if not all, people have asked God. Do you not care? Don't you care about me? Don't you care about the pain, the hurt, the struggles that I'm facing? When storms rock our lives, we immediately go here. I don't have answers for everything this morning. There's a lot of things I don't know. But I can tell you without a doubt that Jesus cares about you. Don't let the circumstances of life that are often beyond your control rob you of this confidence. This is something that we have as Christians that you can't put a price tag on. This is something that we have as Christians that can't be taken away from us. We think about Paul and everything that he went through as he was fighting for the cause of Christ. All the struggles, all the difficulties, being thrown in prison, being beaten. The list, it just goes on and on and on. This couldn't be taken away from Paul. This confidence in who he was as a Christian. Over the course of a lifetime, there's a lot of things that happen to us. There's a lot of things that go bad. There's a lot of things that are great. No matter what life brings your way, don't lose this. I can promise you that Jesus cares. No matter what hardship or struggle or disappointment you're facing, even here this morning, please know that Jesus cares about you. Jesus, he asked the next two questions. The first one, why are you afraid? It could be restated this way. Guys, why are you panicking? Why are you freaking out? The apostles, they were scared to death. They were scared for their lives. They were frightened out of their minds. They were at that point where all rational thought was gone. Seems to be our country today. Not a lot of rational thought. The next question shows us something important. In this question, Jesus reveals the solution to fear. This is what we really need to focus in on because Jesus, he was teaching them. This became an object lesson. This became a real life lesson about how to deal with things. The first question was, why are you afraid? Men, why are you scared to death? And then the next question provides the solution. Do you still have no faith? There was something about faith that could have prevented the apostles from panicking. Do you see that? There was something missing in their lives that could have prevented them from reacting the way they did. In that question, Jesus, he reveals to us the solution to fear. He shows us how we can overcome being afraid, how we can overcome panic attacks, how we can overcome fear. Do you still have no faith? The apostles' response to this event, it was not the right response. The right response would have been to have faith. The right response would have been to trust Jesus. If we go back to the astronaut analogy, we can learn something important. Astronauts are trained to trust everything that they go through. They're trained to trust their training. We need that. Christians, we need to get trained to trust our Savior. Well, how do we get trained? Well, stuff happens, doesn't it? What do you do when stuff happens? Who do you trust? What is your response? When we face a pandemic in our country, instead of freaking out and bashing each other and judging each other and thinking irrationally, instead of using, I mean, that just takes so much energy. That takes a lot of energy. I'm an older person, and I know I didn't grow up with social media. But when I look at social media, the thought that I always have, man, that takes a lot of energy. Why don't we just trust our Savior? When we face a potential panic-inducing event at home, or at work, or in our cars, why don't we trust Jesus instead of freaking out? And then we come to the final question. This is back to the apostles. They see everything that happens. I mean, they're living this. They're in this boat that's being tossed about all over the place. It's filling up with water. They're about to die. They think they're going to die. And then all of a sudden, Jesus, he takes action. And they witness it. They witness what happens. And they realize once again, they're reminded once again, this guy, he's different. This guy that was asleep on the cushion, he's different than we are. This man, now don't miss this, because this is great. This man could speak to the winds. And they listened. Have you ever had a conversation with the wind? Have you ever spoken to the waves in the ocean and they actually listen? Now, there may have been moments in life where you're speaking to the wind, where you're speaking to the birds and all sorts of things. But how many times have they listened? Jesus spoke to the wind. He spoke to the waves. And they listened. He told the winds to simmer down. And they became perfectly calm. And what a contrast we see here. You think maybe Jesus was speaking to the apostles as well? Guys, be quiet. Just calm down. The apostles were having a panic attack in the presence of Jesus, while at the same time, the winds became perfectly calm. When you worry, when you stress out, when you panic, when you have your own little freak-out session, ask yourself, what am I choosing to not see right now? Because the apostles, they made some choices to not see the full picture. What important things are you missing because you chose worry or panic over introspection and alertness and wisdom? What are you missing when you trust yourself instead of trusting Jesus? Here's another way of thinking about it. Does getting upset provide you with more options? Or does it just create more problems? If an emotion can't change the condition or the situation that you're dealing with, it's likely an unhelpful emotion, or quite possibly a destructive one. It wasn't the panic attack of the apostles that calmed this sea. You have to see that, right? It wasn't their freak out session that caused the storm to die down. It was Jesus. Jesus can calm storms. The art of not panicking, it's learned through trust. It's not trust in self that leads us out of fear. It's not trust in stuff that can lead us out of panic. It's not trust in another person that can calm our emotions. It's not trust in money that leads us out of a freakout session. It's simple trust in our Savior. And it doesn't matter whether this is the worst time to be alive or the best. Whether you're in the middle of a huge struggle or life is smooth. or that the obstacle you face is intimidating or burdensome. What matters is that right now is right now. In Jesus, he's always available to you. Right now. Don't panic. Just trust. And if you have storms in your life that are just raging out of control, I think it's time to come to Jesus. If you need to do that this morning, we invite you to come as we stand together and sing.